That's right, folks. Once again, brought to you by Equity CMG Studios. We got my man Andre in the building. He actually is one of several partners in the Haunted House restaurant. Is that?
Yes, sir, that's correct, right?
I thought I was going to drop the ball on that.
No, you got it.
So my man walked in, and I was watching the Jadakiss freestyle because I just like the energy when they had the verses and all that stuff.
Right.
And we just started honestly spiraling on a lot of different topics. Like, he's got sons that are in the business, and these are the stories that we want to bring to light. So the biggest thing I'll let you start with is, what got you? Obviously, you didn't start in the haunted restaurant space, and you've obviously learned a lot from that. But what got you into that space? And, you know, take us through A to Z, like how you got here.
Back in 2010, I decided I wanted to leave the normal workforce world and start entrepreneurship. So I started a company with a couple guys, Alexander John, who's a major big time artist out here. He's doing a lot of stuff with Puma. Kelton Crenshaw, and then my everybody knows OG Vegas Jones, which is also Emery Jones, Jay-Z's right-hand guy.
Oh, yeah.
So I started a company called PMK Customs, which we did custom sneakers.
Oh, shit.
We did a shoot called the Brooklyn Zoo for Jay-Z. He wore the first game at the Barclays Center when Jay-Z was the owner there.
Wow.
And it went crazy. We did some stuff with Beyonce. So that took us spiraled up to doing stuff with Puma and New Balance and stuff like that. So that's when I really got into that entrepreneurship world and gained a lot of knowledge being with Vegas Jones, you know what I'm saying? Emery's a star out here.
Like, right.
He's amazing. And from there, I still have my brothers that I do my stuff with now, which is Jeremiah and Chris. We do we do real estate. That's really what we mainly do before we do anything else. We do we buy houses, flip them, and then some of the ones we do for first time buyers and stuff like that.
Yep.
And then I also dabble into the sports world. So I have three guys that I manage.
No, shit.
James Wiseman, Alize Johnson, and D'Anthony Melton. They're all in the NBA right now.
Okay.
So I do not the agency part, but I do management part, like do the behind-the-scenes stuff, marketing, things of that nature for them. So that's what kind of just led into the whole entrepreneurship world for real.
Right. So you were doing shoes, like kind of like, was it like the airbrush stuff?
No, it wasn't the airbrush. We took it to, that's what JB Custom stuff was doing. We did it where we had a company out in New York that we would take the sole, they would take the whole shoe apart.
Okay.
And we would rebuild it with animal skin, exotic skin. So we sell our shoes for like $3,200.
Got it.
So like the Brooklyn Zoo had 9 different animal skins on it, from shark to eel to a whale, all kind of stuff. Like,
no,
you
shit.
Gotta look that shoe up, called the Brooklyn Zoo. It was a Nike Jordan 1. So we would just take the sole and they would rebuild everything back using the same everything, but with animal skins.
Wow. That is
genius. So we was doing a lot of stuff before Balenciagas and everything came back around. We were doing a lot of stuff, but when they came back around, of course, they price point. You know, I just go right buy some Valentino's, Balenciagas, or whatever, instead of paying $18,000 to $2,000, $3,000 for our shoes. But at one point in time, they're one on one. So these celebrities were buying shoes that nobody else can get.
Right, and that's the essence of entrepreneurship.
That's the unique part of it.
Yeah, filling the gap, but before it even happened. And
correct.
What years were this?
This was 2000. Our run was really between 2011 to 2014.
Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
So that early 2010 run, that early 2010s.
Oh yeah, that's a good run. I think I was on that 2010. I was supposed to go on that Rock Nation tour with, it was Wale, J. Cole. I think that was 2010.
Might have been, because tours, that's when he did that. Then he took a break for a little while. Then he came and did his Magna Carta Holy Grail one, right around that 2014-15 time frame.
Yeah, yep. That sounds about right, because then I think that was I think it was Obama's election.
Yep, was it CSU?
Yeah, that was CSU,
yeah,
yep.
And
at the time, I was working on the campaign. Not to talk about politics, but I was working on the campaign.
Yeah, that was a good election for our culture, for real.
Yeah, yeah. I think so, too, because, you know, when I look at my old man, African-American, Southside Chicago, got a PhD in accounting, extremely intelligent guy, wrote programs for, like, you know, investment comp, like sizable banks like KeyBank.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, back then there was, you know, barriers to entry predominantly because of what you look like.
Mm-hmm.
But the focus, again, on what we're doing here is really just telling people, like, you know, Obama kind of really shattered any type of...
You can break down doors and barriers, yeah.
Yeah.
You can open it all the way up. If he can do it now, he just gave hope for everybody.
Right. Yeah, and that's the part where, regardless of... I think that politics, like a lot of us, you know, operating in, the private sector, I mean, that was, to me, was super inspirational. And I was down there at the conventions. I think, actually, that may have been at the Q, because...
Was that the Q? He came... It might have been at the Q.
Yeah,
he came for a concert at the convention center at the CSU Woolstein, but I think it might have been at the Q when he did a thing for Obama.
Right. So Jay-Z's buying your shit, and I'm sure, I mean, everybody in New York, I mean, as long as I worked in music entertainment, follows Hov.
Oh, yeah. As soon as Jay-Z, well, you know, he ain't, of course, Jay-Z ain't buying nothing when it comes to that. We gifted it to him because Emery's his right-hand guy. You know, Emery, yeah. Everybody knows the story of Emery, where Emery came from. But Emery had the opportunity to gift him the shoe. And once we did that, I mean, we just went straight up. Took off. I mean, we was on the Breakfast Club. We was on all kind of stuff.
Did no
the
shit.
Life and Times, the Jay-Z thing.
Shout to my guy, Envy.
Yeah.
DJ Envy's my man from way back in the day.
Yeah, he cool dude. And ever since then, like, it took off. And then it just, like I said, it just ran its course. As fashion does. It runs its course. And then from there, everybody kind of, Emery's still with Puma. Kelton is doing stuff with, he's a football agent at Clutch now.
Yeah.
Alexander John is doing, I mean, he's a celebrity sneaker artist, doing stuff with Puma, and I'm doing stuff with athletes and restaurants now. So everybody got their own lane and kind of branched off from there.
And that's, you know, again, that's kind of a part
of what it's about.
Yeah, the path that you go. So you got through the shoes. You said that kind of, I'm not going to say died out because it sounds like you're still kind of doing it, but what you're saying is the premium brands kind of picked up what you were doing.
Yeah, and then just catered at a lower price point because they can mass produce it. But at the same time, we wasn't looking to mass produce. We were looking to create one-on-one, the special shoe.
Right.
If Rick wanted a shoe for his mortgage company, we creating, you know, you want all eel or whatever, all white eel, we doing all white eel shoe for you.
Right.
So nobody else has that shoe that Rick has. So that's what we was able to create for everybody. So, you know, Meek Mills, Tristan Thompson, we did. Back when LeBron was in Miami for the finals, we did all his shoes for the whole finals.
Man.
So, yeah.
Y'all was cashing them checks then.
We was doing well back then. So, and now, like I said, we're into the real estate, athletic marketing, and then the big thing right now is the Hunter House restaurant. It's something that's – it's almost like a dream come true to create something like this that everybody can come to and just be themselves and just bring everybody together, no matter your color, no matter your religion, no matter what. It's just something, a restaurant that everybody just come to and have an experience.
Right. So you get out, you said about 2015, 2016 is kind of when the shoe things fizzle out.
Yeah.
What did you do, like, after that point to get to the restaurant piece? Like,
we had, you know, XL, my partner Jeremiah, we did some stuff with downtown, the XL Executive Lounge.
Okay.
It was downtown on Prospect.
Yeah.
And then also had the, like, a sports bar lounge called Stats. So we still was in that kind of field of doing food, beverage and food, but not a full-service restaurant. And then also during, like I said, during that main time, we really started the whole thing with our real estate part of things of that nature. So we really was focused on just killing the game of real estate right then.
The funny thing is, as many, like, is celebrity, whoever we get bring in here, it almost inevitably, we don't even... It goes right back to real estate. They either own real estate or got into flips or like old multifamilies in that space. But
I always tell people, is, you know, Jeremiah is one to attest this, and he always says this, man. It's one field that I feel like nothing is guaranteed, but it's almost a safe bet. So you get a house, buy a house, put your insurance on it. Something goes wrong or whatever, you at least get your money back.
Right.
But if you do it the right way, you're going to sell this house. At some point in time, you're going to sell it. So it's one of those investments that you say, like, nothing is guaranteed, but knock on wood, we haven't had a bad one yet when it comes to real estate.
Yeah, and real estate is real time, so a lot of people think that, to your point, like, there's a lot of leeway there for you to fuck up pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different with the mortgage business. There's plenty of margin in there to learn, you know, how much staff do I need versus not need, et cetera, et cetera. But so, again, the connective tissue always seems to be real estate, which, you know, obviously that's what we do for a living in the mortgage space, but... So we get out of the shoe game, get kind of more into real estate. And what kind of made you all conjure up this? And again, I was telling Andre before we even came on here, I was like, my cousin, who's from Kentucky, was texting me about your restaurant.
Yeah.
And it's not like you guys are like pushing out mass amounts of marketing. It's just the whole concept, I guess, of what you're doing. So how did you get to that point where you're like, hey, let's try this idea? Or, you know, when did you have that light bulb moment to say, let's try this haunted house idea?
So during the pandemic, and a lot of wheels got to turning because you didn't, I mean, real estate, flipping houses, you know, that didn't, you know, Home Depot always stayed open. So we was able to continue to do that. But when you come home at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, when you're done, your wheels are automatically just turning. So at that time, we came together, like, what are we going to do? Like, when this thing ain't going to last forever. Right. And we was like, well, let's get a full-service restaurant. But Jeremiah was like, well, we can't get a full-service restaurant without a concept. So I'm like, shit, you're right, because we can't just go in and just put a restaurant there, burgers or steaks or whatever. You have so many of those out here now, and they're just struggling right now to survive through the pandemic.
And I'm glad you said they're struggling, because the net, I mean, what's the average net income that you can make on a restaurant? I mean, it's like 2-4%.
That's about right.
Yeah.
So they're struggling. So it's like, we can't just come in with a basic, you know, things are closing down right now during the pandemic, especially restaurants. People are just doing DoorDash and Uber Eats.
Right.
So a lot of people telling us, like, y'all crazy. Y'all don't make no sense to even think about doing a restaurant. But as entrepreneurs, you know, it
takes a lot of balls.
It's all about gamble. It's all about being humble. It's all about making the smart strategic moves.
Right.
And we came across a location, me being in Cleveland Heights. I've been in Cleveland Heights for a while. I coached at Cleveland Heights basketball with J.R. Bremer.
Oh, okay. Back in the day, I went to Chanel, and we played against Bremer a lot. I think we were actually trying to recruit him to Chanel.
Oh, yeah. Bremer's a bucket.
Yeah.
Still is a bucket. But, you know, he's a great coach now. So I've been there with him. Been in the Heights for 7 years. So we got the old Melt was closing. The Melt is right there on Cedar and South Taylor, right on the corner.
Yeah.
And being a diverse community like Cleveland Heights, we reached out to the landlord, and it was intrigued about our idea of just creating a restaurant there. They didn't know nothing about the Hunter House restaurant. So I reached out to Jeremiah and Chris and said, hey, I think we got our location. Jeremiah was like, all right, cool. Before we sign anything, before we have any kind of negotiation talks, what are we putting in there? I said, shit, I don't know. A restaurant. He's like, no, we ain't doing that. So I called my god brother, who's DJ Ryan Wolf, official DJ for the Cleveland Browns.
Big up to Ryan Wolf, fellow, he's a DJ. He's a heavy hitter DJ. My man Efeezy, I was telling Andre, we grew up together in the hustle of DJing. But big up to the heavy hitters.
So that's my god brother, and I know he's a reason why I put his name out there all the time, is because he has a gift from God that you really can be like, Ryan, I want to do this, and this. And he, give me a second, I'm going to come up with something. He's going to call you back or text you like, boom, boom, this is what it should be. I call Ryan and say, hey, we got this building on South Taylor and Cedar, the old Melt, Cleveland Heights, beautiful building. What are we going to do? He said, call you in 15 minutes. Literally within 15 minutes, he called back and said, we're going to call it the Hunter House Restaurant, and this is the concept that we're going to roll, and we're going to call it that. I said, why are we calling it the Hunter House Restaurant? He said, because we're driving out on Cedar, South Taylor in July, you look up and you see the Hunter House Restaurant. You're like, what the fuck is this? Like, what's going on?
Yeah,
you
want to
go in there and see what it is. It's automatically going to draw you in there because it's not October. So ain't no Hunter House should be open right now. But when you go in there, he's like, when you go in there, you're going to be paying homage back to all the scary movies we grew up on, the Freddy Krueger, the Jason, the Friday the 13th, the Michael Myers, and things of that nature. So we're going to make it like a movie theater when you walk in.
Which is a massive, I mean, that's a massive market that nobody is thinking. And again, that's entrepreneurship. I mean, you guys had the shoe idea. Nobody was touching it. Now, all of a sudden, everybody wants to do it. But now you have this idea that nobody's doing.
Nobody's doing it. And when he brought it up, I called Jeremiah and Chris. Ryan, I'll call you back. Jeremiah said, help the landlord, let's talk. And ever since then, it's been history. I mean, what Ryan envisioned is what we executed. And the execution to this day has been successful to the point now it's time to open up some more.
Yeah. And you mentioned, so you lead into the next point. With restaurants, again, there's only so much margin in there. Like, what's the next step? Obviously, with you, you're already trying to franchise. Genius idea, and you've only been in business for a year. That's how McDonald's, spiraled and all that stuff. And I think this is more of a niche product than a McDonald's, to where, you know, I don't think you would want to put it everywhere. But
right,
the originality of it, and taking it and franchising it, I think is a genius idea.
Right.
How do you do that and keep, like, you know, for instance, I mean, you mentioned Melt, and I think, you know, the kid that started Melt was from Lakewood or something.
Matt's from Lakewood.
Great idea. Again, you mentioned the restaurant business being really competitive and tough. how do you do the research, or how do you start from some Cleveland Heights to some of the other locations that you mentioned, like Orlando, Vegas? Like, how in-depth research do you have to do, or like, what do you go with your gut, or is it kind of like a combination of everything?
I mean, it's a combination of everything. It's a combination. It's a little, some prayer involved into it, because one thing we are all are strong in faith.
Yes, amen to that. Me too.
But at the same time, like, I don't want to sound like a conceited person. In all humbleness, I say this: you can pick our restaurant up and drop it in Wichita, Kansas, and it's going to be successful, because it's nothing like it.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's nothing like it out here. So really, you can really pick our four walls up and put it anywhere, but I feel like places like Orlando and Vegas are tourist places. They love Halloween, and if you look at the demographics that's coming in, you look at all the tourists that's coming in, you get the tourists, and you still have the locals that's still coming in, going to the parks during the daytime and nighttime. Anytime you ever go to Orlando, iDrive, I don't care if it's Fridays, Applebee's, or whatever,
right,
those restaurants are booming Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
So you put a restaurant like ours with a concept and an experience and something that's catchy in these cities, I think it's a no-brainer. You just got to make sure you find the right location at the same time, because Orlando's so big, you want to go on iDrive.
Yeah, Orlando's a big – I mean, we're down there for real estate events. You know, Tampa and Orlando and Miami, we're always down there going to, like, you know, real estate events. Mm-hmm. And I agree that – especially in those markets, it's really, like, focused in on, like, vicinity and, like, where you're at and all that good stuff. But, like I said, I think it's a genius idea, because, I mean, and that's kind of Town Hall did the same idea, where they just said, we're going to stick to just this, and we don't give a shit what anybody else has to say.
And created that.
Yeah, and created that. I think your location used to be a reggae nightclub back in the day, if I'm not mistaken.
It used to be Peabody's at the same time. It used to be Peabody's and Platinum Dream.
Okay, maybe it was Platinum Dream.
Platinum Dream, definitely. You could be able to go and look downstairs through the opening gap, and everybody comes in has been there before. It was the Melton Hunted House restaurant. They'd be like, this used to be the Platinum Dream. Right here is where you used to be able to look down and see the band playing and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm like, that's where it's at.
Yeah, I do
remember. I don't remember. I never came in there, but yeah, that's where it was at. You know, but they come in there all the time talking that.
Yeah.
So it definitely was a Platinum Dream, what it's known for. But now it's covered up, you know, the basement is like our office and coolers and stuff like that now.
Yeah, I do. I forgot about the whole you used to look down part, but then you mentioned it and I was like, well, yeah, I do remember that. So franchising, obviously, is the next goal. Is there any other ideas that you guys are kind of coming up with? To kind of, like, I guess, further expand your brand? Because the biggest problem, again, sometimes is you can spend endless amounts of money on, like, marketing dollars, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you create something that will organically drive people in? Like, is there a event you're going to start doing or anything like that? Or
yeah, I think, outside of our normal day-in and day-out trivia and stuff that we do, we're going to create an event actually coming up soon, Rick, in October.
Okay.
Halloween makes sense, right?
Yeah.
October 29th, we're going to do the biggest damn Halloween party you've seen in Cleveland.
Right.
It's going to be at the IX Center.
Right.
And I think that's going to drop the miles. It's going to not just going to be a DJ and dancing. It's going to be a fest.
Right.
It's going to be bands
like
there. It's going to be a festival.
I think that's genius.
A scary horror festival. We haven't quite came up with the catchy name.
Right.
But it's definitely going to be a fest at the IX Center. Big. You think IX Center, you think big. It's going to be something that's memorable. At the end of the day, Guinness Book of World Records, the biggest Halloween party was like 17,777 in New Orleans at the Superdome.
Yeah.
Our goal is about 2025 to beat that record.
No shit.
And the IX Center said they could fit 3 football fields inside the IX Center.
Oh, they can.
So I think by 2025, our goal is to beat that Guinness Book of World Records. So we're going to start it this year in 2022.
Yeah. And honestly, like, you know, I think I told you, I grew up in a city called Twinsburg, and they started something called Twinsdays Fest years
huge.
Ago.
We got so many people coming in. It was like 2-3 weeks ago. It was
right.
And so many people came in from Twins Fest to our restaurant dressed alike and stuff like that. It was actually crazy.
Yeah, but I guess that when I look at that, like what you're trying to do, that's where I think, like, this is genius, because you're taking what you're already doing and just kind of creating alternate, no different than this podcast. You're just creating alternate ways to really brand yourself.
That's,
you know,
a fact.
That's great stuff to win. So you align yourself with my man, Earn Bremmer, which, you know, that dude, I know he likes to win. Obviously, you're a winner. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You guys are winning because you have that mentality. Grew up in Cleveland Heights, et cetera, et cetera. Like, at what point did you, even when you were a kid, like, at what point were you like, I want to be a business? Like, what was there, like, a light bulb that went off?
It was always my mom. I grew up in a single mom home.
Me too.
Me and my brother. And it was always like that. You know, they always had dreams as being, I used to sometimes be working a regular job, but I would throw my briefcase out the window and tell my mom I was a businessman and stuff like that, but I was still working a normal job. And it's like, I always wanted to be a businessman, be my own boss. Even at the same time, we have a family funeral home in Maple Heights.
Okay.
So that's what I went to school for, and since the University of Cincinnati, to get my degree in mortuary science. But I just decided to, working for family is tough.
It's incredibly tough. I have family that works for me here, and there's many, because it's a never ending struggle of, you got to respect me while you're here, but then sometimes family can give you the brutally honest truth that you may need to hear.
That's a fact.
But I understand that.
So, I always kind of had that, like, it's been in the family. You know, we had our own funeral home. It's been successful. It's still doing well. So I always had that, but I always wanted my own.
Right.
And I'm like the organizer of our group. Like, I'm OCD when it comes to organization, calendar.
Yeah.
Google Drive,
and you need
that. Two screens, three screens. That's why I love your office. You always got like the two screens here, another screen here.
Oh yeah,
like that's how I operate.
Plug my laptop in and I have two up there.
My partners operate off their phone and the laptop here. I need to sit down and do all this here. My screen's here, and I'm the one to get to going. So you know, I just always had that type of, you know what I'm saying, that's just how I was raised by my mom.
Right.
So just go get it. Nothing's gonna be earned. You know what I'm saying? You just gotta go find a way to go get it. So, you know, aligning myself with people like I own now, my partners, Chris, Jeremiah, Ryan, Lenny, you know what I'm saying, Brim on the basketball side.
Yeah.
Everybody in my circle is just about winning and trying to go get it and be successful. So we all have our own destination, but we have our different highways that we get to the same destination and be great at.
Right. And that's the energy that we like hearing about. And the energy I really like hearing about is when, you know, we don't hear enough about positive black men that really, you know, mentor their children into the business.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking, and you mentioned that your son actually works for a famous artist, and I can let you go into all that.
Yeah, so my son, Kylan, they call him K Rich. He works for Lil Baby, one of the hottest rappers out right now, artists out right now.
Yeah, landslide. And I hear he's cool.
Cool as a fan. Like, he get on the, when Kylan do come home and just check on the family, Kylan, he always check on Kylan. He'd been on Unk, what up? You know, he always very down to earth. Very good dude. And that's why I don't mind when Kylan said, I'm going to move out to Atlanta and I'm staying with Baby and stuff like that. I don't mind. I know Baby going to have his best interest.
Right.
So he started off as Baby's photographer, but now he's kind of like his personal assistant. So right now they're on tour on that Chris Brown, One of the Ones tour.
Oh, I didn't even know Chris Brown was on tour.
Yeah, Chris Brown on tour. He's actually the headliner and Baby's the opener. But they kind of alternate back and forth.
I was going to say that.
And he told Kylan, like, I need you more by my side, so I want you to go find a photographer that goes through you. I don't got to talk to him, none of that stuff. He going to go through you, and you can be by my side. He can do all the concert stuff. You do behind-the-scenes stuff.
Sure.
So now, you know, the kids love him. Baby's kids love Kylan and stuff like that. So my son, he's just a good dude. He got blessed.
Yeah.
Always, you know, Ryan always tell everybody, favor is not fair. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
God's favor ain't fair. So, you know, he's a good dude, man. So I just keep pushing. But, you know, being in the industry, like we all said earlier in the conversation, that kind of is that nucleus, that olive branch to get you going everywhere else.
Yeah,
for real.
Like, yeah, yeah. Entertainment.
It's not about the entertainment industry, man.
Yeah, the entertainment hustle is just a different hustle. Like I said, I worked on ThisIs50.com. Shout out to my man Renee and Nels over there at G-Unit and Ozone Magazine, my homegirl JB. You know, the music hustle is just way different, but I did think, what I do like hearing is like those stories where you're successful, you know, you're positive, but then your son comes up and, you know, just takes what you did. And in theory, that's what our parents wanted for
us,
just, you know, scaling up from what they did. And really, to your point, like, you know, our barriers to entry are, I'm not going to say non-existent, but I feel like most of it at this point is like mental stuff. And again, this is why we created the podcast, to really get the positive stuff out there and say, hey, man, you know, we're both from Cleveland. We're, you know, we're successful at what we did. We had a musical career, you know, that ran and ran well. But then we have to figure out a different alternative. But a lot of people like to make that excuse. Oh, I got to move to here. I got to move to there.
You got
to
do all that. It's, yeah. It's all about being a good, solid person. And what's for you is going to be for you. Of course, if God decides to move you certain ways, you follow what he leads. But at the end of the day, you can do a lot of stuff right out of Cleveland.
Right.
Cleveland got a lot of special people from the music, sports. We all know sports, but music, sports, entrepreneurs, whatever. Like Cleveland, of course, naturally, you might want to grow out of the land and go somewhere else. But
yeah, no hate on that at all.
If you can create your foundation here, you're something special, man.
Yeah. Like a lot of people were, you know, shitting on LeBron when he left again. As a Cavs fan, you want to be that way, but
yeah,
like.
It's a business.
It's a business. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I saw what.
Like his money probably tripled going to L.A. and being here. All the stuff that he could do out of L.A., being right there and practice, then go shoot a movie thing real quick. He can't do that shit here in Cleveland.
No, he can't do that. But, you know, you look what he did with Mav and, like, Rich and all that.
Yeah.
It's like he's a powerhouse in himself, but he also – I think that barbershop thing was a great idea. You know, some of the movies and stuff he's doing. So, like, it's like, give me
opportunities.
Yeah, the opportunity is like different. But, you know that he wants to eventually come back home, which I think is great. He's got his foundation in Akron. He still is actively involved. So, you know.
Yeah, he definitely did what most men want to do is make sure that the homies and make sure that the people that care about him the most is put on. And he didn't necessarily just say, here goes some money. He gave them opportunities to go be great on their own.
Right.
And be their own bosses. And that's what all Mav and Rich, even the other four horsemen, Randy, I mean, he's doing it also. You know, even though you see him around LeBron a lot, but he's doing the whole management side for LeBron. So they all got their own lane. And you know, you got Romeo and Drew and all them still doing their own thing, but they're all successful from the olive branch of LeBron James.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Rome's my guy.
That's amazing.
From back in the day, because I went to Kent, he went to Akron.
He was always my guy.
Yeah, yeah. He was always my guy, and you know, like you said, the Four Horsemen. Like, the crazy thing is, it's like we're all intertwined. I remember LeBron when he first signed his, I think it was like his first contract. He pulled up in the Hummer to one of our fraternity brothers, OD. At
OD.
Kappa Park.
Oh, that's the cap. Okay, that had the OD. Yep.
Yeah. So he pulls. So it's just crazy how like we're all like indirectly intertwined. Like
in
you
some
know,
kind of way. Yeah.
Yeah. But you mentioned you know your godbrother Ryan Wolf, and like I literally started DJing with E Feezy in his mom's back room. When we were 15 years old. You know what I'm saying? So I just think it's like it's crazy like how we're all kind of.
So when you was at Chanel, was Bam before you or after you?
Bam was with me,
you?
Yeah.
Bam was with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bam, Brian Swift.
Swift was there too, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Before he went to Warrensville.
Yeah, they all, so this kind of, I love those guys, but this made me mad. They all leave and go back to Warrensville. Now, I probably couldn't have got into Warrensville anyway because, you know, I didn't have any relatives that lived there, nothing like that. And they all go to States. And I'm like, damn, that was the whole fucking team I played with.
Yeah.
And we were trying to get Eric, because Eric was at Solon at the time, E. Feezy. We were trying to get him over to Chanel with us. Like, we played in summer leagues together, all that stuff. I played with Jay Newt. Shout to my man, Jay Newt. I'm trying to think who else. What else would you know? My man, Steve Cargyle, I think.
Yeah, Steve Cargyle, I know Steve.
Yeah. So, my man, Jaron, I think he served as strategist to Donald Trump's organization when he was actually in office. There's just so many people that came out of Cleveland, you know what I'm saying, from that era that are wildly successful. So, when you start mentioning those names, I get a little hype. So.
Yeah, you know, that was the – it's gotten back a little bit. Indy old basketball, but that's when Indy old basketball, you know, you had your Dane Stringer and Jamal Harris and all that time.
Talk
but then you know what I'm saying? Then you had that run with, you know what I'm saying, all you guys and J.K. Brooks and all that stuff. That run, that's when, like, basketball used to just Friday nights I was going, you was going anywhere just to
everywhere.
See a game. Yeah, and Warrensville was one of the most littest places to go.
Right.
He was going everywhere to see just some good basketball at that time. So, you know, hopefully we get it back now. Social media just some jacked up these kids, and it's bad, man.
The only kid I saw really getting it was Lil Meech. You know what I'm saying?
Lil Meech, you get busy, and now you got to watch out for Sonny's son.
Okay, I heard that too. Problem. Yeah, I haven't seen him play, but I'm trying to think if there's anybody.
You know, if Brim seen him play out in Vegas this summer, Brim called me like, "Yo, Dre, that boy good." Because you only see a lot of highlights.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But the way he controlled, Brim said, the way he controlled the game and everything, he said, that boy going to be good.
Right.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We're going to be good over at Heights this year. We got a lot of good guards. We finally went to one districts out of, like, 19 years.
Okay.
Last year. So we got a lot of our core returning.
Okay, gotcha.
So, like, our guard play is crazy. We got, like, four good ones.
So you're coaching, you're running this restaurant, doing other stuff going on in sports.
And then being a husband and a father at the same time.
And a father. So, you got the father call before we even started this. And, you know what I'm saying? I was like, man, this man is like, I don't have any kids. I'm not married. I mean, hopefully one day. But, I mean, that's you're doing all kind of stuff. If you could give people one piece of advice on how to get started or, you know, like I said, younger generation, what would that advice be to getting started in general?
Follow your gut, no matter what nobody says. And I would say that a testament to just our most recent endeavor. Everybody told us, circling back real quick, don't do that restaurant. Y'all, we're in a pandemic. Nobody's succeeding.
It takes massive balls to do that.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Now look at us, because we had a dream and this is what we wanted to do.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you're going to either say, dag, I could have did it and look what it could have been, or you're going to say, look what I did do. Or some things, don't be scared to fail, because fail is nothing but a lesson. You know what I'm saying? You learn from it and you just get back up and you figure it out again. So go with your gut. Go with your vision. And if you feel strong about the vision and you feel like it's something that you want to do, put all the energy into it and just do it. No matter what, no, I'm mom, dad, husband, wife, just do it. And then you live with the results from it. And you learn from either the good or the bad. You learn from it and make it a lesson. That's all I tell anybody.
Yeah.
Great. I'm going to do what I, you know, I'm pray about it. I always pray about it. But when you pray about it and you feel like it's leading you to do the right thing, just do it, no matter what. And if it don't work out, you learn from it.
Yeah, and I mean, to piggyback on really that, I mean, I also feel like, you know, a lot of – back in the day, especially when we were coming up, like Cleveland had a lot of dog-eat-dog people where, like, Cleveland people, they would just do whatever to, like, get at each other. But then, like you mentioned, there came that period of time where – we just all uplifted, and we're still all here. You know what I'm saying? When you talk about the Four Horsemen, or, you know, Earn and everything he did, or like the Warrensville squad and how they all kind of, but we all, like, if you hit up E-Feezy when you go to Miami, he going to look out for you. You know what I'm saying?
That's all the strength.
And I feel that a lot of us, like, work together behind closed doors. So, I mean, I guess the main feedback I could give is, like, never try to burn a bridge, you know. I think that there's plenty of us out here doing different things in different avenues. Like, utilize us as a tool, like, even down to this podcast, like, utilize this as a tool to create that future that you want. You know what I'm saying?
That's a fact.
I'm not going to hold you too much longer, though. I know that you got the kids coming and took plenty of your time up. If there's any other last shout outs or websites or anything you want
to
give.
I appreciate you. First, you got to shout out to OG Lenny Berry, man. Lenny put all this together. Lenny's a great guy, man. Just a shout out to him for being supportive, a backbone for us as young black entrepreneurs.
Amen to that.
You know, he's always just a phone call away, no matter what it is, about business or about, I asked him stuff about relationship, because he's a married man and he has an entrepreneur. He know how he got the kids. And he know how to maneuver, so I asked him about a lot of stuff. So just shout out to Lenny. But from the restaurant standpoint, make sure you go follow us on all platforms. We're good on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at The Hunted CLE. So that's at THEHAUNTEDCLE. So
okay,
that's all, man. I appreciate you, Rick.
That's what's up, man. I appreciate you, Andre. And again, big shout out to all those Cleveland just legends that, you know, we all kind of like have our own avenues, but we're all still here. And I really do get excited when, you know, I see other people successful. Yes, sir. And, you know, to your future success, I'll be there as many, you know, any way that I could help. And
appreciate you.
Big shout out to Lenny, and appreciate you being on the show, brother.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, my man.